there's this kind of like advice where it's like, you know, it's one thing to break a habit one day, but don't break a habit 2 days. So things happen, life is unpredictable, but try and get back to a routine as soon as possible so that you can make sure that you stick with it.
Welcome to the JS World Podcast, powered by passionate people. Here we interview our speakers from the JS World Conference. We talk life, tech, and all sorts of things. Like what we have to offer? Like and subscribe. And don't forget to follow us on @JSWorldConf on Twitter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the JS World Podcast. And my name is Tim Bennix, and I am interviewing great speakers and guests in between the events that the JS World guys are organizing. And this is one of these, and I'm here with Michelle. Michelle, how are you? Welcome.
Good. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. I know that you are doing organization of events, amongst other things. And I have a bunch of questions about that, but maybe before I get too excited, maybe explain who you are and what you do, and then we'll go into that conference question.
Sure, absolutely. So my name is Michelle Bakels. I'm a program director focused on developer health at G2I, and I'm a co-organizer of React Miami. There's a few other events that I'm working on as well, like the Dev Writers Retreat with Swix, and also just a really active member of my local tech community as well.
Awesome. So that developer health thing, that really excites me. I think that's very important in our field because everybody's working really hard, right? Mm-hmm. And so how does that the job that you have that does stuff with developer health, how does that translate to yourself when you help organize one of these events?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So to define developer health at G2I, it's to improve and support the mental and physical health of software developers, which is a really broad scope that can be all sorts of things. We're all individuals, we have unique circumstances. And so there's all kinds of different solutions for each of us. It's not one size fits all. So for me, yeah, like you said, I take on kind of pretty big projects here and there, such as organizing a conference, which can be very, very stressful. It was something that I was cognizant of before I started, the potential of burning out as we got closer to the conference, especially for the first year running it. There were a lot of unknowns and it did get really stressful. To be honest, I wasn't in the best state of mind for the entire organizing process. There are those days where it's like, you know, like, are we going to be able to find a place to host this thing? Or this just came up, or, you know, we had this like catastrophic last minute, like kind of thing fall apart, which was huge, that we kind of put back together the day before the conference. So there's all of these things that happen. But I think there's a few different, things that also supported me during this time. Number one, I am working on React Miami through G2I, so the company that I work for, and G2I being focused on the health of employees and developers was very, very supportive of me. Anything that I needed, anything that I was stressed out about, or if I needed a hand or, you know, extra people helping go out, get sponsorships, stuff like that, they were right there ready and waiting to jump in. So having support, knowing that you can ask for help, is huge. Outside of G2I, can't understate how great of a decision it was for us to partner with JS World Conferences. I know this is their podcast, but I'm not just saying that. I would say that to anybody. Like, Yos is brilliant. He does this all day, every day. And exactly. So he's seen way worse things than I've ever dealt with. So
we're always in awe of how he deals with this stuff, because I've spoken at many of their conferences as a speaker, but also doing backstage stuff. And I just see Yos's eyes darting around, right? I know how he feels, but he's always calm. There's always a solution. And so how did you kind of go, like, how did you do that stuff? Did you get like super stressed, or did you have like some sort of calming exercise to just not worry as much? Or I don't know. I just want to see like how you dealt with that stuff.
Yeah, I think, I would try. So every morning I work out. It's definitely the thing that starts my day that helps put my mind in the right place. And it focuses on like my health and supporting me. So that's always how I start the day. No matter what's going on, I can't sacrifice that. So keeping a routine throughout chaos is really important. In the past, I've been guilty of like, okay, I don't have time for that anymore. Like, I don't have time for an exercise routine because so much is going on. But like, just really trying to defend those routines as much as possible helps steer the ship for everything else in your life. And then again, just I have a really great support system. So between JS World conferences and being able to talk to them about things that I'm worried about, and other conference organizers that have helped me and given me advice, I'm really, really lucky because there are a few people like Justin Samuels, who organizes Render ATL, Carter Rabasa, who organizes Cascadia JS, and also Christopher Trudeau, who organized the first React conference. All of these people gave me advice and were there for me if I ever had any questions, checking in on me. Even, you know, Justin, the days leading up to React Miami, you know, he has Render ATL, which is huge to focus on, but he still sponsored React Miami and he still texted me like, do you need help with anything? And so that support system is just indescribably important for, you know, keeping my mental health during conference organizing.
Oh, that's awesome. Community helps with so many things. It's amazing, right?
Absolutely.
And so, when you say some of these things, I recognize myself in that, where I work at a startup and we need to make sure that our ARR goes up and that there's conversion to our developers, things like that, right? And you just tend to get sucked in and work. And I go so far as to like, I forgot to go outside today. Mm-hmm. Oh boy, I need to drink something. And I actually have sometimes some trouble to figure out, okay, I need to do some sports to feel more at ease. Let's just walk the dogs for an hour or something like that. Do you have any tips and tricks for people who are like that to kind of break that cycle and then actually do these other things to make you feel better? Is there any sort of self-talk that exists? Or like, I'd love to know, because there are moments where I don't break out of it and I feel terrible.
Yeah, I don't know if I use a lot of self-talk so much as, but maybe it's mixed in there, but I think I think it first starts with like slowing down. So first slow down before you make any decisions, like I want to work out 30 minutes every single day and then do this. You know, it's easy to say those things and make those decisions because that's what you're told to do and how to be healthy. But if you don't really understand why, you're just not really going to be as motivated. So I think the first step is kind of stopping, spending some time to look at your life. What do you like about your life? What do you want to improve about your life? And then make decisions around that. And then make those decisions clearly, like this is going to help me become this person via X, Y, and Z. And so once I think you have the proper motivation, then it's just about establishing boundaries first. So, you know, if you want to work out every evening, you need to make sure that like your phone is on do not disturb, you're not getting Slack messages, you're not getting pulled into something can interfere with this, which is one of the main reasons why I actually start in the morning, is because most people are still asleep when I get
smart.
Yes. So I kind of like reduce the noise that in that direction. But first set the boundaries to make sure that you have that space. And then commit. So form habits. And so if there's like multiple things that you want to get better at, like I want to work out and I want to, you know, keep a tidier space in my office. I like do this thing where I stack my habits and they're much easier to keep those routines. So like I will like work out and then make my coffee, take a shower and then clean my bathroom and then go into my office and clean my office like every single morning that I'm working. So that,
nice.
You know, the day has started. I stacked those things that I wanted. At the end of the day, when I'm tired, I don't have to be like, oh, I don't want to get up, you know, and do this, you know, it's already done. So habit stacking is really, really helpful as well. And then just there from Atomic Habits, there's this kind of like advice where it's like, you know, it's one thing to break a habit one day, but don't break a habit 2 days. So things happen, life is unpredictable, but try and get back to a routine as soon as possible so that you can make sure that you stick with it.
Okay. Wise words. Routine keeping and habit stacking. Let's remember these and actually try. So at work, you kind of give this similar advice, I imagine. And so I can imagine with lots of developers, they will have some stress. And do you think it's based on the work environment, or is it maybe based on the person by how they respond to certain things or how responsible they feel? Where do you think the crux is of this work stress?
Yeah, I think it depends a little bit on the situation and the person, but it can really be in both places. I've been part of organizations, you know, that have had a really negative impact on my health. At the end of the day, though, I have the autonomy to look for a new job and remove myself from that situation if I can and need to. And it takes a little while because, you know, even leaving one of these jobs, I was like, you know, this is probably the best company I'll ever work for. And it can be really, really stressful. But at the end of the day, you have to make the decisions that are best for your health. So there is a lot of, you know, like, especially if you're kind of in a company where there's bad communication practices or kind of negativity or toxic behavior. It's easy to say like, oh, that is the fault of the organization. And it is, but also at the end of the day, it's just remembering, like, it doesn't have to be the next day or in the next month, but you do have the opportunity to move and remove yourself and, take advantage of that agency.
Oh, that's interesting. So if you think about shaping a workplace for your people, that let's say you're a leader or something, as a leader, that as I was leading a whole bunch of different developers in different cultures from different skill levels for a long time. And what we found is if they have the motivation that works for them, they tend to not be as upset. Because what I've seen, especially with front-end developers, they always get upset about something because they're just idealistic, or there's always something like that. And we try to make them happy. Because happy developers just do better work and everybody, it's always like that. And so what we actually looked at is if one of these developers, I saw them at their desk steaming in front of their screen, because they do, we would always say, just look at, you know, do you have purpose, mastery, and autonomy of the task at hand? Because generally, if one of these three is missing, they start to get frustrated, right? And I don't know if frustration leads to this stress factor at one point and then burnout, or maybe this is just a smaller thing. And I'm just forming a question in my head as I say these things, because it's so, you know, ever changing. Maybe it's just if you feel too responsible or something. Like, what's your take on all this? If I talk about how that motivation and responsibilities, things like that.
Yeah, burnout is very ambiguous. I think, it's such a hard question to answer. Like, what causes burnout? I've seen a lot of people try and define it on Twitter and in blog posts, and it really is just different for everyone. And in fact, like, you could really love what you're doing and still burn out for one reason or another. You know, even if you're like, no, I love this. And it's like, you look miserable. Like, you still need to take a break, even if you do care about it.
100%. And so maybe with that in mind, like, what are the signs of burnout? Is it generally an outside person telling you? In my case, it's always my wife. And a week before it happens, she's like, you need to stop now. And she knows. But what are the signs, you think?
So there are a few signs of burnout. One is becoming less enthusiastic about your work. Another is kind of becoming resentful towards coworkers and colleagues, becoming a bit resentful towards the project that you're working on, feeling underappreciated or feeling like people don't recognize you and your efforts, becoming lethargic, starting to maybe break out of routines and habits. There are a lot of different signs to burnout. And a lot of times, the first time or a few times that developers go through burnout, they don't even recognize it. Mm-hmm. I hear all the time people are like, I didn't realize that I burnt out 6 months ago. But now in retrospect, now that I've taken some time to rest, I realize that was burnout. And so unless there's somebody, this is where organizational help can come in, is if managers and directors understand the signs of burnout, they can notice it in their employees and be able to get in front of it a little bit, make sure that they log off at the end of the night, take their PTO, stuff like that. Once you've burnt out a couple times, you can recognize the signs yourself. But if you haven't burnt out, then it is other people that can really help you when they see it.
Oh, yeah, it's interesting because I might have been, I don't know, I don't think I have burned out, but I've been close to it a few times, be like having to do things like conference related stuff or just deadlines and things. I've had it with like the little eye twitch thing when you're in meetings, and that's not a good sign, but I never connected it to burnout. But, and this is another context to it, maybe it's also culturally different. Like I'm from Europe. And I'm a dude that's white with a beard. Might that be quite different than when you are more of a minority, perhaps, or in a different culture? What is your take on like different cultures and burnout?
Yeah, that's a really great question too, because it's something that we talk about a lot in the context of developer health at G2I, because we come up with these initiatives and these resources to help mental and physical health of developers, right? But that can be such a broad range of solutions. Oh, yeah, sure. There are things that I have gone through and experienced that have stressed me out at work that my colleagues won't experience. And, you know, like there, even in the context at G2I, there's things that we're working on, like making neurofeedback really accessible to help people with ADHD. All the way to just like helping, because we have developers all over the world, helping people relocate if they need to, if their current living situation is really stressful or chaotic, helping them move to a place that's more stable. So developer health, depending on circumstance or culture, gender, race, sexuality, can really be a wide array of solutions.
Yeah, I also asked this because me being from Northern Europe, we have certain things that are just in place for people at work. Like right now I moved to France and here I have something called a CDI contract. I cannot be fired. Like that's a thing, you sign it, it's there. So it takes longer to hire people, but you're also super protected. And I kind of wonder what if that changes anything compared to where in the US you're can be let go tomorrow, right? There must be different stressors there.
Yeah, it can be really stressful. I think it depends on, I think the bigger companies, there's a little bit more safety, but you can't really like say that, especially in regards to the economy right now. There's tons of layoffs. There's tons of people who are being let go of unexpectedly. I think in like calmer waters, there's a little bit more protection for employees when it's not necessarily tied to that. But that is definitely very stressful because there are so many people who we can't be perfect. We can't do everything right. We're always learning. And it's a natural part of innovating and pushing the bar to fail. And failure should be embraced and it should be recognized and it should be, you know, almost encouraged because that means that you're trying something new. But then there's this gut reaction like, oh my gosh, I didn't deliver that. Am I going to get fired tomorrow? So that is very stressful and real.
Yeah. I wish we could find like some hard rules that we can just put in and it works, but that's just not true because everybody's so different. Mm-hmm. However, where you work, I imagine you need to have some sort of company guidelines to help people with this stuff. And so I read up on the website and I love that site, by the way. So the developer health is a big header actually in the menu. So that's awesome. And so you're talking about things like restful work, which sounds amazing, but I've never found work restful. On the other hand, I'm always so excited about my job that I just work hard. It's always 200%. But could that also be restful work? Maybe can you help us define it a little bit?
So restful work is work where you accomplish tasks and you accomplish your work at a restful pace, essentially where you're unhurried and you're not stressed. So an analogy that we use is comparing engineers to athletes. So athletes love their sport. They love what they do. They work really hard, especially if people like Olympians that, you know, are the best in the world. But it's not just about their workout routine. It's about their rest routine as well. It's not a separate thing and it's not a reward if they work really hard. It's an equal part of their regimen. So in order to perform their best and in order to be the best in the world, they have to rest. They can't push themselves too far. There's a difference between working hard and getting better and pushing yourself to the brink of exhaustion. And so in that same analogy, there's, you know, athletes, if they push it too hard, they can tear a muscle, they can end their careers, or they can have like, a minor issue and be back in a week. It's the same thing for burnout, right? So like as engineers, if we push ourselves way harder than we're capable, it shouldn't be something that's necessarily super well praised, because that could be, you know, something where it's like, okay, now I need to take a week off of work to rest, versus like, I'm quitting tech, I can't do this anymore. And it's so unpredictable what that injury can lead to.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. And I'm just going to play devil's advocate for a second, because I actually kind of agree with you. But previously in my career, for example, there have been moments where I completely peaked, as in working 70, 80 hours a week, getting something out there. And with that, do incredible innovation and change the market and actually be super successful. So then your next job is much more relaxed and you can figure things out until the peak happens again. And when you're like up until 35-ish, those things tend to happen, at least in my experience. So would you advocate for not doing that? Or perhaps if you know it's going to happen, you have a different attitude towards it. What do you think?
Yeah, so this is really relatable in terms of, you know, delivering on React Miami too.
Exactly. There are things that those just, things, yeah.
Yeah, there are just those things that just do require more time and more effort and energy, but they shouldn't be the norm. Just because you hit that high doesn't mean you should maintain it or keep it or even expect to do it again. Like, you can't just turn around and be like, next month I'll do this again, or next quarter. Like, appreciate those moments for what they are and plan rest around it. So for React Miami, I was working long hours those days getting ready for the conference. There was no clock out at 5. But at the same time, my boss gave me the whole week off after React Miami without docking it from my PTO and gave me a stipend for essentially using it for whatever I needed to make that time off restorative so that I could come back. And it's not like I'm coming back straight out of a conference. I'm coming back rested. So it's a little bit of like, okay, if you know you're going to do that, if you know you're going to push that hard, plan your rest, you know, just like you would plan you. Want to try and start planning your rest if you don't already for the regular days as well.
That's awesome. I think I've never done that. But then again, looking back now, maybe because I'm slightly privileged, I might have just taken that time and just said, okay, I need to stop now. And then the boss would not have so much to say because you did that other thing before. But it's kind of interesting to see how people who are in that world of event organizing deal with this, because back in the day, I had to work quite often on New York Fashion Week, where we worked for different brands and we would help them with like live streams of fashion shows. And we had to build a set and then make sure the tech was working. And that was our little piece of this fashion show. And we would do that for two brands or something. And there was one agency with one dude who was organizing 5 venues in New York during Fashion Week on his own with his team. And he would build sets that, you all look, think about Chanel, Tommy Hilfiger, these kind of sets, like proper huge things. And we saw, it was so interesting to see how he dealt with it, because he knew he was going to get extremely stressed. Mm-hmm. And then every time, 5 minutes before the show would start, he would be backstage lying on his back like that. For the viewers who didn't see that, he was like arms out, feet out with his dog, sleeping for 5 minutes. And then the show would hit. And it's so interesting to see how he would peak and do that for four or five venues at the same time. He must have had rest after that. It's like these crazy things. So. Right? Well, the point I'm making is that if you know it's going to happen, you're probably fine. And I know for myself, if I know something like an organization thing or a conference talk that's high pressure, I actually enjoy it a lot. But you need to find that balance. And I guess that's pretty hard to do, right?
Yeah, it is really hard. And I think there's no way of escaping learning from experience. So you can have this idea of what it's going to be like and how to make sure that you don't burn yourself out going through this. But at the end of the day, life is, again, just so unpredictable. And you just have to forgive yourself for maybe not doing everything perfectly and understand when you need to pull back and say no to things so that you can rest and come back and be better.
Yeah. So would it be stupid advice in your eyes if I say you need to kind of find what your limits are on the rest end of things and on the extreme peak side of things to know what your balance is, right? Before going to restful work without having peaked. Maybe you have much more, or because personally for me, when I'm at 110, 120%, I feel better than at 80. It's just me. And so I've learned that through going through all these peaks and valleys. Would that be good advice for starters, or maybe I'm a little crazy and an outlier? What do you think?
No, I don't think that you're an outlier. I think that just inevitably, like, there will be moments when you're just gonna push really hard for something and hit that peak, even if with the best intentions. It's also really great to know like what your potential is. I don't want to take away from that. And, you know, I've built things, like I've built amazing things in the middle of the night, you know, pulling an all-nighter. Exactly. But it's also like, after some time of those all-nighters, I also like learned like, okay, well, I'm not going to wake up at 6 a.m., you know, the next day either. I'm going to spend a little bit more time in bed. But yeah, I don't want to get too rigid with like, you have to do this or that or whatever, because everybody is different. Yeah. It is exciting to create something that nobody else has created. But through learning, I think for the day to day, most of the time, this is not really the norm, and there can be some routines. And at the end of the day, to be honest, we are more productive and we have more potential and we can do more when we're well rested. So that goal or that dream to like push your potential and take yourself to see where your limits are, then you're only really going to be able to do that with a really well-rested mind and body. So it's kind of like on the other hand, where it's like, if you want that, you actually especially need to focus on rest.
Exactly. And it's all in the balance. And that's really hard for a lot of people, including myself. And
it's a lot of discipline.
Yeah, exactly. It's self-discipline. And so I have one last subject I wanted to talk about, which is now that we're post-pandemic, or maybe not fully post, but at least a lot of people work from home, me included. And especially also where you work, because it's people from all over the world, I imagine lots of people are kind of not at the office. And what we've seen from lots of startups and also bigger companies, they said, okay, you can work from home, but it's completely sync with everybody. So it's essentially doing an office job, but not being in the office and not benefiting from being in the office, but doing the same thing, but away from each other. And to me, that's like a huge fail and very stressful. So I would say async remote is much better. How would you kind of set that up as a place of work? And how does that help, in your opinion, with less stress?
Yeah, so async work is really important. Even if you are in person, you can be async more in the office. Oh, yeah. I would say we kind of challenge ourselves at G2I to just kind of like avoid scheduling a meeting. So it's kind of one of those things where it's just like, think of any other way to get this message across without having to like sync up with somebody else's time. So We leverage things like Loom and Basecamp and Slack. And
nice.
So those are just tools, right? And then there's culture. So right when I started, it was communicated to me that essentially anything that I ask of others will be responded to within 24 hours or so. So immediately I'm releasing the expectation that people need to respond to me immediately, and also that I need to respond to them immediately. I don't need to feel like, oh, their message came in, I need to answer this right now. So I think that's a huge part of it, is that you have to let async be async.
Oh yeah, it's hard.
You have all the tools. Culturally, you have to kind of change some behaviors as well.
Yeah, I think it's something that really works. I see it with all my colleagues as well, because we're really trying to do this, but we're also growing a company. And then sometimes you need to get together in a sync way. And so there's some challenges there, but all in all, for me, it's amazing. I work here in the countryside. I do meetings whenever I want to or not, as long as the most important things are done. And then like literally just now I did something in the garden. And then I go back to work again, and then I'll do a workout or something like that. So that's awesome. Michelle, I want to really thank you for all these golden nuggets of information. And we're going to have to try to extract these, or hopefully the listeners can do that, because it's a really important thing to do. And I guess even when you work in a workplace where none of this is a thing, you as a person yourself, you can actually take actions to, at least in your little scope, do it for yourself, right? And so do you have a final thing you want to say about that for people to, you know, that can take that away from this podcast episode?
I guess one last final thought would be to take care of yourself. Don't take your health for granted, and forgive yourself for not being perfect.
Oh, wow, that last one hit. I love it. That's great. Thank you so much, Michelle. And where can people find you on the internet?
So I'm on Twitter at Michelle Bakels, and on LinkedIn under Michelle Bakels. So those are two of the typical places. I try and use my first and last name for my handle as many places as possible. So
nice.
It's usually a good way to find me.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you very much, and speak soon. Cheers.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, and until the next one.